RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Finishing strong in 2025, man.
Yeah, oh
we're
yeah.
not leaving no any stone unturned. Greg Cosell in a half hour. Steve Kerr in just over an hour. Steve Kerr will be the final guest for you and I of 2025. Seems appropriate.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And we were hoping to have him last week, but the schedule was such to where it didn't work out. And, you know, he was coming off of the Draymond situation, so I mean, I guess we will ask him about that. It's kind of old news by now, and he's already spoken to it. But there's so many other things to talk about, including, you know, the ongoing Kuminga question and, you know, Jimmy Butler's assertiveness last night in the third quarter. Was that Jimmy saying, you know, get me the blankety-blankety ball? Because you needed somebody to start taking over, and he did.
TJD said after the game, there's an emphasis right now on our team to get Jimmy the ball.
Right, like, and there should be.
Yeah, like run the ball through him. Steve has said it a couple of times, too. So anyway, much more on the Dubs coming up, the Niners as well. And speaking of the Niners, the practice report is in. Tuesday is usually a day off. The Niners don't get that this week
right. Because
they will play on Saturday. So I do think to a degree we could take some of this with a grain of salt, because if anybody is kind of super banged up at this point in the year, they're going to give them that Tuesday day off, even though there was a practice held. But we'll see. You want to throw out a name and I'll tell you if they practiced or if they or did not? Go ahead.
George Kittle.
George Kittle did practice on a limited basis.
Okay.
Limited.
To be expected.
But George, yes, he practiced.
How about Trent Williams?
Trent Williams did not practice.
Not surprised.
Though Kyle Shanahan did say publicly he's got a shot. He's got a shot to play. And they don't say that unless, you know,
he's got a shot. Yeah, I get that. I mean, it's a tough one, because if you push him out there and he's not 100% and you lose, well, now you have to play the next week and he maybe got worse. Or you roll the dice and he doesn't play, he rests, and you win anyway. Now he gets an additional week to rest.
So Shanahan said he's not sure how long he'll be out, but, quote, we'll give it a shot this week.
Okay.
Is what he said.
Give it a shot this week. The other thing to say is I don't remember if today is what a normal Wednesday would be. Trent Williams never practices on a Wednesday.
Right.
Ever. They call them vet days.
And same as McCaffrey.
And correct.
Would be the next one I'd ask you about.
Go ahead.
McCaffrey.
Didn't practice.
Yeah, okay.
And they said, with a back injury that we saw, him trying to work out there on the sideline. And yeah, both of them always take vet days on Wednesday. And some actually pointed to those vet days for Trent as being key with the way Austin Pleasance played when he went in there.
Right.
Because when Trent sits out practice, Austin goes in and gets all the reps. So he was that much more ready, and he may need to be again this week. In fact, he will need to be, even if Trent tries to play. I'm sure they're going to rotate him in and out a little bit more or run the risk of pulling him if he goes out there and it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, and if Trent goes out there and he can play, there'll be no rotation. He'll play until, you know, something happens again. But the fact that Trent only played one snap and, you know, he went in the tent and then that was it. He took the tape off and so that told me that it was one of those injuries where it's like, oh, wow, this is not even like a maybe or a tweak. It was maybe not a full-on tear, but it was some sort of a pop where he went in the tent and he came out. And it's like, nope, that's going to be a no. Where's my baseball cap? I'm done.
Yep, exactly. Few others who did not practice today. Kyle Juszczyk with a hip injury did not practice. Keon White with a groin injury did not practice. I would take this as a little bit of a good sign. Upton Stout practiced on a limited basis. Remember, he's in the concussion protocol.
Wow.
But the fact that he's already kind of at least going through, you know, there's hurdles.
Sure.
But for them to, for even to go out and do a limited practice, that means he's crossed one. And so that's good.
That's just really good.
48 hours after the game, not even 48 hours after the game.
Because that one looked like not scary, scary, like Tua Tagovailoa scary, but you could see that Upton was clearly like not all there after it happened.
Yeah, he landed right on the top of his head. So Stout was limited. Ricky Pearsall, which by the way, I'm getting real damn near just asked, like, we got to go on some. Can you get Ricky's parents on? There are too many people calling him Purcell. I don't know what the hell's going on. Kyle's been doing it all year. Collinsworth started doing it. Now I'm seeing videos of people breaking down tape. It's Ricky Purcell. And I'm just like, call Herm Edwards and find out what this guy's name is. I feel like we should know. 2 years in, first round draft pick.
You play to win the game.
Is he Ricky Pearsall or is he Ricky Purcell?
It's a great question.
Thank you. I want to know. These things matter to me. I don't want to be out here calling some guy by the wrong name. Ricky Purcell.
What did you do?
I'm going to call him Pearsall till I know otherwise.
AI says it's Pierce, like the president.
Yeah.
All. Pearsall. Not Pearsalt, but it's Pearsall.
Okay.
That's what...
Kyle calls him Purcell.
Okay. And I've heard him called that before.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
What you could really call him is Fragile.
Yeah, also
that's Italian.
Good receiver, though. Anyway,
when he plays,
he practiced.
Good,
but limited.
Limited, of course.
And so did YGM. YGM.
Yetur Gross Matos,
yes. Which we are probably saying wrong as well.
And we all say Sam Okwuanu, and I would imagine that his name is pronounced different than that.
Might be.
And
just go with Sam-O.
Sam-O. No doubt.
Yeah. He practiced, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
You would figure.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the practice report for the 49ers today on a Tuesday, which is supposed to be their rest day, but it's not because they play on Saturday.
And Brock Purdy tomorrow will speak, and then Thursday, Kyle one more time, and then Friday, no media, and you get ready for a Saturday game. And it's a short week, and it's a short week for both, but the Niners are already off a short week. And off a short week and a tough travel back from Indy where they had to play and land at like 3 or 4 in the morning. And so it's a back-to-back short week.
Yep.
Not that that's a huge factor, but I do think it's a factor. All the injuries aside, Seattle's in a little bit of a better rest spot than the Niners.
I mean, Seattle had the mini bye the week before. They played Thursday. The Niners played Monday, but then they all come back and play Sunday. I'm not too worried about the fact the Niners played at night. Seattle played during the day. Seattle was on the East Coast. Niners were at home. So to me, that's at best, that's a wash. Seattle had to get on a flight
from
Carolina.
I'm more concerned about the week before when the Niners had to come back and land very late on Monday morning.
Right, but if you want to extend that another week or two, the Niners just had a bye. Like, they had the latest bye of anybody in the NFL. And so, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, at a certain point, it is what it is. If Seattle had played last Thursday, then I would say this is a
big advantage.
Is a big advantage. But they didn't. They played, and they were on the East Coast. And so it's a bummer, but it's a bummer for both teams, I would think.
Yep.
Right? They don't get to rest up for the big game in the final week.
Which is fine. I mean, it's an extra day. So the day you would have had today would have been, you know, a complete day off. And yesterday's the treatment day. Today would have been off. But instead you come in, and I'm sure they weren't like – cracking helmets and slapping pads. They probably went through a light workout, and then you slowly build it up. And it's week 18 anyway, so I don't know how much of that you need to actually do. I know Thursday is normally that day where you kind of get after it ahead of a Sunday, so maybe that's tomorrow where you go out there and you try to install the game plan and you really get out there and you try to practice one hard day. So if these guys are all limited or out tomorrow, I think that becomes more of an indication.
Ooh, this one's going to be hard.
Yep.
This can be so hard. Oh, man. Seattle's got a good defense.
Yep.
There's not a lot of NFL teams that can say that. Right now, 57% chance of rain. I'm actually not overly worried about that. I know that a lot of folks cruising around think Brock Purdy can't play in the rain. I don't know. I think some things get forgotten in that process. You know what I mean? It's like, ooh, I remember that Rams game last year and it was raining and they didn't score a touchdown.
12-6.
Right. Deebo Samuel dropped a touchdown, number one. Number two, I don't know. Wasn't it raining in the Packer playoff game when Brock went on a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter?
Sounds about right.
For a 24-21 win, I think, was the final score there. Wasn't it really kind of wet and mixy in Cleveland 3 weeks ago?
It was just cold. I don't think that it was okay. Really, I mean, raining.
I mean, I feel like when there had been snow in the area, you're at least talking about a really sloppy, damp field.
Can be, yeah.
I don't know. Yes, there have also been some examples where that has not been his best game, but I think that happens to a lot of guys in the rain. Like when they lost to the Rams 12-6, how'd Matt Stafford do? Not great.
Not great.
Not great. There weren't a lot of points.
I think every quarterback would tell you that wind is more of an issue than rain.
Agreed.
So I don't know what the wind forecast is for Saturday night at Levi's. Probably not super windy.
I can get that.
As we know here in the Bay Area, the wind precedes the rain. So when you start to see it get really windy out, that tells you that the storm is coming right behind it. So normally when there's a storm here, you don't get a lot of the same sort of wind. At times, of course, you do. But normally the wind comes first, then the rain. So I don't know what the timing is of the storm on Saturday.
I'm looking at the Santa Clara Saturday forecast, and I'm sort of not really about forecasts until we get 48 hours out. So this is funny money to me because this can all change. And if you've ever lived in California for any period of time, it feels like about half the time they say it's going to rain, it doesn't rain. But it is supposed to rain starting tomorrow all freaking week long. So let's see. But Saturday's Santa Clara word-for-word weather report is this. Steady light rain in the morning. Showers continuing in the afternoon. A high near 60 degrees. Winds out of the south at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance of rain overall stands at 70%. There's your Santa Clara Saturday forecast.
Showers.
It doesn't sound all that daunting.
No. And not that cold. And, you know, honestly. Yeah.
And not that windy. Like exactly. 10 to 15. Yeah, a little gust.
Fine little breeze. One club wind. Yeah. Maybe a club and a half, depending on, you know, if you're going dead into it.
Dude, I played this morning. It's about three clubs.
Yep.
Just because it's so damn cold. You really have to put your ego away.
No doubt.
I mean, my God, I'm hitting a driver on a 3-wood hole, and it's not getting there.
Mm.
My kid looked at me. He's like,
you all right? You good?
I'm like, shut up. It's cold out here.
We played Sunday morning.
It's 42 degrees.
Oh, 7:30 tee time out at Poppy Ridge, which is deep, deep Livermore, 37 degrees first tee. And
dude.
Which doesn't affect me because I'm hitting these little buck 94-yard, like,
little butterflies.
Dying quails, dude. No doubt, so.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HC1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app and coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Yeah, Greg Cosell in 15 minutes. We're kind of just tennising back and forth here with Niners and Warriors. Did anything jump off the page from you? Because Steve Kerr is in an hour. The conversation with Nick Friedell. I think that, you know, that if anything that sort of jumps at me, like this idea of is there kind of discord in the locker room, not tension we're at each other's throats, but I think he sort of agreed that, yeah, there's probably a lot of different opinions in the room, which is normal when something's not working. When something's not working, everybody's like, I got an idea. You know, how about if we try this? I thought, you know, his answer with regard to, because I know a lot of people are wondering about this today, is the Kuminga DNP thing simply because the Warriors already know he's gone, why would we risk going out there and injuring him? And Nick sort of said that's part of it.
Yeah.
That is part of it. And I wonder if the Kuminga Brigade, and right, you are a very good portion of the fan base, there's no question. I wonder if that sort of softens it a little bit. Because that to me is not about basketball. That's about business.
It's about bubble wrap. is what it is.
Right.
And I don't think that that's the case. It could, and maybe we can ask Steve Kerr about that. You know, I don't think that he'll tell us point blank, yeah, we're going to trade him. And so, therefore,
of course,
we have 16 days. We got to make sure we don't get this guy hurt. But I think it's kind of a combination. And Nick said as much, Nick Friedell, when he joined us, that it might be some of that, but it's also that Steve Kerr doesn't think that he is playing well enough right now to help them win. And I think that for Steve Kerr, the ultimate default, what I've gotten from him in the 85 times we've talked to him and what we've seen over the years, when you boil everything down and you boil it all down, and you're a cook, so you know this, when you boil something down, you look in the pan and whatever's left, that's what's left. And so when you boil this whole thing down, what's left in Steve Kerr's pan is he wants to win basketball games. Yep. He's not worried about Dunleavy or Lacob. He's not worried about Kuminga or Spencer. He's looking at it and thinking, who can help me tonight beat Toronto, beat Brooklyn, beat Charlotte? Who can help me right now?
Correct. But at the same time, I also think he does that with an eye on the bigger picture. And if you're thinking, who can help me beat Toronto, but if we put someone out there and something bad happens, that could also totally blow up the plan that we are trying to execute in February, March, and April. Then maybe maybe it's not. You know, how about this? This popped into my head. Jonathan's been such a good soldier, right?
Yeah, outwardly that we've seen, yeah.
Agent went silent. I don't see any more tweets.
I don't follow him, so I assume
Neither do I. Aaron tweeted at all, Grandy? Any more like Aaron's in the third row getting ticked off going, what are we doing because Jonathan's not in the game?
If he has, I have not seen them.
All right, so Aaron went silent, and Jonathan is just putting IG stories up about, like, great win, am I right? We beat Brooklyn. How about my guys?
Yep.
Woo, that's Dub City, y'all. So if that's happening, is it possible that the Warriors have already had the conversation? Jonathan, we're trying to get you out of here. Like, whether that's...
I'm sure they've had that conversation.
Right, so just our apologies. Hang out Chill. Over there on the bench. We're going to get you out of here as soon as possible. Because, yeah, whether whoever agrees or not, that probably sounds like music to Jonathan's ears at this point. So he's like, look, you know what I mean? We have to wait until at least the 15th. We're calling. We're working the phones. We need to protect you because that can really mess this up. If we're all on the same page about one thing, it's about getting you to a new city. And so we need to do that right now by having you not play. There are 13 other players on this roster. They're all playing tonight. Not you.
Exactly.
I wonder, because it feels too, like Guru was talking about this earlier, and I get it. Like somebody would be like, I don't know, they'd be throwing something off of some wall. There's got to be just absolute bubbling frustration right now. And Jonathan's over here like, yeah.
Dubs win.
Yeah, we're going to Charlotte.
It's a Victory Tuesday.
So I gotta wonder if that conversation has not happened.
I'm sure it's happened in many different ways and at many different levels. I don't know if it's gotten to that point where it's, you know, and Steve Kerr obviously won't tell us that because he can't.
Sure.
But it's 16 more days. There's 8 more games between now and JK Day. So if we get 8 more DNPs and he gets dealt on the 15th or on or about the 15th, and, you know, there's rumors that the Kings are still very interested, and so they seem like a very good and logical partner to, you know, go ahead and send Kuminga to Sacramento, and you could take back either Malik Monk or you could take back, you know, Keon Ellis, and there's other people who, you know, combined might fit, and maybe you send Buddy as well. I don't even know what the deal would look like with picks and swaps and all the rest of it, but if that is actually what is being worked on, then yeah, go ahead and DNP him, because when he plays, you are a 500 team. When he doesn't play, you're a 500 team. No matter who you play in Golden State Warrior uniforms, you're a 500 team. This is who you are. And so the old thing about you are what your record says you are, in this case, I kind of believe it, because if it's Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond or not, if it's Pat, oh, you caught fire, TJD, Buddy, now you don't play, and this and that. Like, no matter who you've put out there, you win some, you lose some, and you're a game above 500.
What's going on with Sabonis up there?
He makes too much money.
No, he doesn't.
He makes $42 million.
That's correct.
He makes too much money.
Why can't you put a few people with Jonathan?
You don't want Sabonis.
Why not?
He can't shoot.
Dude, he's a center.
Right, but he's not the center that you want.
I mean, he gets a lot of rebounds.
Right, but he doesn't play the way that you want to play. I don't think.
Like, the guy turns my stomach. But, you know what
What's up with Sabonis?
I mean, like...
He turns my stomach.
He turns my stomach, but, like, I've learned through the years that sometimes you got to deal with that. Oral Hershiser pitched for the Giants.
Chris Paul played for the Warriors. Sorry, I jumped you.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, sometimes you got to just deal with that.
He also hasn't played since the middle of November with a knee.
Correct.
And is going to miss another, like, month, probably.
Okay. Another month is perfect. That's exactly when the trade deadline is. I don't know.
You are aware that Draymond Green stomped him.
I'm pretty sure.
One of Draymond's many, and I don't want to say victims, like he's out there committing crimes, but somebody who caught the tail end of a Draymond sneaker.
People figure that stuff out all the time. I mean, it's escaping me right now, but that kind of stuff has absolutely, I mean, how about Chris Paul and Steve Kerr? Like, famous meme or whatever. Like, Chris Paul, like, these guys hate each other and then they don't because they think they can help each other.
Yeah. I mean, for me, he's not the one, but...
I don't know who the one is. I don't think they can get the one.
Well, for me, I look at a possible Kuminga trade, and for me, if you can get anybody who can actually play basketball, then it's a win.
Well, he can play basketball.
Not for Steve Kerr.
Why not?
You ask Steve that. 5 o'clock. Steve Kerr joins us.
He's not allowed to answer that. Like, he's not allowed to.
He's allowed to answer why Steve Jonathan doesn't play.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm here.
That's my point.
I thought you were asking about Sabonis.
No, I'm asking about...
Ask him about somebody who's under contract with another team.
That's tampering.
Yeah.
I'm asking, like, if you're not going to play Kuminga, and he hasn't been, and whether or not it's to, like, save him for a trade, or maybe he doesn't fit, if you get a human being... who Steve actually does want to play,
sure.
That's an automatic upgrade.
Sure.
Unless that player stinks.
Oh, he's going, like, hello?
Even if it's Malik Monk, for example.
What kind of chances would you give for Jonathan? What's trade deadline day? February
8th, I think?
All right.
Something like that?
Jonathan on the roster, February 9th.
Oh, no chance.
None? Zero?
Zero.
Okay. The only reason I give it 2% chance is because trades are hard.
Thank you.
They are. I mean, they are.
I mean, they're really not.
They are. Like
February 5th, by the way.
In the Warriors situation, lovely Christie's birthday. In the Warriors situation, oh gosh, we'll do a Christie / trade deadline party. She'll be so excited. Anyway.
Just don't trade the lovely Christie.
Not trading her.
For pish.
She is not on the market. You hear me? All right. Jonathan, Kings, if you ask for Christie... That's going to be a no for me, dog.
We have to hang up.
Anyway. I do think, as Nick Friedell said, you're talking about a hard cap team
right
that now wants to trade someone who makes $25 million through they don't play. So I don't know that the rest of the league is dying to get their hands on him. I think there's some interest, sure.
Right.
But, yeah, trades are hard. This is going to be a hard one. This is going to be, prediction, they're going to do the trade, and at first blush, you're going to hate it.
Well, it depends on how you feel about Kuminga.
You're going to hate it.
If you love Kuminga, you already hate it. You already hate the fact that they're moving off of the future of the Warriors. If you love Kuminga, you're mad at Kerr, and you're pissed off at Dunleavy, and darn it, Lacob should have done more to keep him.
That's true, but also... I wonder because a lot of Kuminga fans that I hear from actually now support the trade too because they think it's
free.
Right. They think it's so personal. And actually, the only way this debate that's been going on for so long, here's where we can all agree, the only way for this debate to move forward is for him to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then let's find out who was right and who was wrong. If he's an all-star in 2 years, I'm going to have a big L on my head. If James Wiseman and Trey Lance's career is on tap, then the other half is going to have to wear it. But it's not going to move forward until he goes.
And that's the whole thing about Jordan Poole, because Jordan Poole went out and he cooked for a team that lost 60 games, and then he did it again for a team that lost 62, I think, and then he got traded again.
And they dumped him.
He's got hurt, and so like his whole thing is kind of a cautionary tale for all the Kuminga stands out there, but If you look at the Sacramento salary matches, I don't know who among those players, like Warrior fans, would actually be excited to get in place of him.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to feel great. I really don't.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money. Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Not bad, guys.
On 95.7 The Game.
I mean, thank goodness for this.
Yeah?
Just kind of cruising around over the holidays, and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, last week, we were in and out. Like, are we not going to talk to Greg Cosell again in 2025?
Oh, we will.
Phew.
And we did last week. You were gone.
I know you did, yes.
Dan Devone held his feet to the fire.
Really?
Not really.
I mean, what does somebody get Greg Cosell for Christmas? You know what I mean? Like, what the guy who seemingly never comes out of that room that you're sitting in there, Greg. Like, what do you, right?
Well, that's probably true.
Okay, River Island's guest line. It's Greg Cosell. What'd you get for Christmas, Greg?
Nothing really. Nothing. And I was here pretty much all day on Christmas.
Exactly.
It would be a comfy desk chair for me, or like one of those cushions.
I was thinking like a DoorDash gift card. Do you eat? Does somebody send something into the room there with you?
Well, there is a cafe here at NFL Films, you know, okay, for breakfast and lunch, not for dinner.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So yeah, a DoorDash after 5 p.m. card. That's what we're gonna try to send Greg.
Now I emailed you guys some stuff. Did you get it?
I'd have to check.
It depends on what email address you use. Did you really email us? I did not see anything.
Yeah. At odyssey.com.
Oh, well, yeah. I checked that one after the show. I'll check it now. Okay. Well, next time, Dib's first question, I'll log on and look. Yeah. But right now, I want to be very focused on my first question for you, Greg. And it is this. Can you give us, very, very nervous 49er fans, some sort of an overarching review of why the defense? I get no Fred, no Nick, but like, how bad is this? They look the last couple of weeks like they're having a hard time stopping any pass play, and still no pressure on the quarterback. So what do you see with this group?
Well, I think the pressure part is a major deal. They're not really able to generate a lot of pressure with a 4-man D-line pass rush. You know, obviously on that final drive for the Bears when they stopped them with actually a very interesting concept on the final play. But still, they tried to dial up some pressure. You know, when you play a Ben Johnson team, you're playing, you know, as good an offensive play designer in terms of the pass game as there is. You know, that's a very difficult offense to play against. And, you know, it's funny. I came away from watching that side of the ball, and I said to my guys on the matchup show, I said, you know, I think that that Williams is going to be a great player. I mean, he's really, really gifted. He's getting more and more comfortable on the Ben Johnson offense, which is, as I said, it's really, really good. You know, when I look at an offense, and I think Kyle Shanahan's like this as well, but, you know, what I'm looking for is how they go about attacking with their concepts, because that's ultimately what it is. You know, you're trying to create – that's what coaches do all week long. They're trying to create – concepts that break down the defense and present clean reads and throws for the quarterback. And you're dealing with two guys in Ben Johnson and Kyle Shanahan. You probably put Sean McVay in that conversation that do it as well as anybody in football.
And you look at like what they did and, you know, trying to counteract Ben Johnson and how he was kind of carving him up. I want to go back to that last drive and thank you, Greg, for your notes, all seven pages.
We see them now. They were in our spam folder,
yeah,
Greg, so we found them.
That'll never happen again, though, Greg.
Oh, it's a shame.
Yeah.
I was giving you a present so you'd have all that stuff before we talk.
It's funny because this reads like my own notes read, which is kind of a, you know, it's kind of it's like confirmation bias. But that last play from the 2-yard line, walk us through, and Mark and I were going back and forth because the defense was not good, but I thought on that final drive, the defense actually mixed it up a little bit and did some things. So tell my partner here how the Niner defense kind of bowed up on that last drive.
Well, they did something specific that was obviously planned. They didn't, you know, that wasn't something Saleh at that moment said, oh, let's try this. What they did is they were in nickel. They rushed both edge players, Farrell and Huff, and they deployed Winters as a spy on Williams, and they had 8 in zone match coverage. So they basically took away every throwing window that was available for Williams. And he had no throw within timing and structure, and he had to make something happen improvisationally. Now, when I'm sitting here with my clicker, my trusty clicker here, and watching the play, you know, 15 times, I thought he possibly had a throw to Loveland, but, you know, I'm not Williams, and it's easy with a clicker watching it 10 times. But he chose not to try it, and he ended up running around, and he had to throw it somewhere, and it was incomplete. So, you know, it comes across as being phenomenal coaching by Saleh because he showed him something that I guarantee they did not expect.
Does he see the field well, Greg, or is that still – and I'm talking about Caleb Williams. I get the arm talent, but how do you sort of evaluate his vision?
Well, I think it's getting better and better in the context of the Ben Johnson offense, you know, because that's an offense that, you know, presents certain things. And obviously every offense, Kyle Shanahan would tell you this, is trying to get the quarterback to throw to the primary read in the play call. That doesn't always happen. There is a defense out there. But I think Williams is getting better at that. You know, don't forget, it's his first year in a very difficult offense to learn. So I would say, I tell you what, watching this tape, and we know that the 49ers don't present a great pass rush. We know that. But that's not really that relevant when you're studying the quarterback who you have to isolate when you watch him. I felt like I was watching a veteran quarterback that was pretty comfortable playing. Now, is that going to happen every week? Maybe not. But I clearly think he's getting better and better.
And what did you see from the Niners secondary, particularly on some of those big touchdowns, the one to Burden, where it felt like there was just a couple of blown coverages by the Niners?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was blown per se. That's always a tough thing. That's one of their staple concepts. There was kind of a dagger element to it. I don't think they ran it great, but you're getting a vertical and you're getting a dig. That's what dagger is. But the 49ers were in essentially what looked like quarters, and they used Loveland really well. He ran right across the field to hold down Mustafa, who was the safety, the boundary safety. And then what happened is the other safety, Brown, sort of got caught. He wasn't sure whether to play the dig ball, which is 99.9% of the time where the dagger concept goes, or to play the vertical route, which is normally a clear route. And you could tell because Burton ended up putting his arm up and he's like, oh, I think I'm open here, so throw it to me. And, you know, Williams flicked it 50 yards in the air.
Yeah.
And there was inside pressure by the D-tackle West versus Tooney, but he just flicked it. I mean, that's where you see the arm talent.
Greg Cosell, executive producer, NFL Films with us. And now that I can see your notes, Greg, I think listeners would get a kick out of this. I'm going to read one of these bullet points.
You can. You can put it out there if you want. Yeah, so I'm totally convicted in what I type.
I love this because this.
Which page are we on here, Mark? I want to follow along.
I'm just on the front page because this one caught my eye. And
has to be about Purdy.
Of course it is. And I also think, though, it'll give people an idea. And I have no problem saying this. I know my partner over here thinks he's a mini Cosell. When I'm talking to you and reading this stuff, I'm like, it turns out I'm a doofus with popcorn. That's all I am when I watch football. Because like to know the details that are going on that you see, I don't think most fans get this. So check this out. Greg brings up the Jake Tonjes 18-yard catch on 3rd and 7 on the first possession of the game for the Niners. It was actually technically the second possession because the first one was that pick six. But we get what he's talking about.
Let him cook.
So just let me read this to everybody. Tonjes 18 yards on 3rd and 7 on first possession was a great snapshot of Purdy as a post snap operator. Play concept was Pearsall on the dig to the field part of three-man route combination, but Purdy read the bracket double on McCaffrey release into the boundary and went to Tonjes, who was the boundary X in the 1x3 set versus outside leverage linebacker Edmonds in the Bears cover one scheme. Y'all got that? Did everybody get that?
I got it.
Okay, yeah, you got it.
How could you not see that?
I love that. I mean, seriously, what? That's my response, Greg. What?
Well, that's football. You know, I mean, that's what I do. I do football.
Yeah, you do football.
But just
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
In playing off that, the fact that they were able to use Tonjes, the backup tight end, as the boundary X, what does that say about the versatility of this roster and the Shanahan offense?
Well, because the offense is so brilliantly choreographed, and I'm not going to sit here and say Tonjes would do the same thing Kittle does, but he can step in, and you know, he ended up having four or five catches. I mean, is he going to run after catch like Kittle? Of course not. He's not the same player, but the offense doesn't change in a dramatic way. I'm not going to sit here and say it doesn't change at all. I'm not in the meetings. I don't know what Kyle and the staff do specifically, obviously, but I guarantee it's not, oh, my God, Kittle isn't playing, we have to run a brand-new offense. It's not like that at all. It's a very choreographed offense. They do what they do. It's very systemic. I mean, it's a very fun offense to watch.
Greg, Trent Williams goes out on the very first play. And so I want to know what you saw and what you thought of Austin Pleasance filling in.
Well, I'll tell you what, he certainly didn't kill them by any stretch of the imagination. If memory serves me correctly, they put up quite a few points and didn't seem to have trouble moving the football. So, we're not going to sit here and say he's Trent Williams. No one's going to say that. But he did not force them to totally change what they wanted to do.
And for the third time, the Niners come from behind in the fourth quarter, which is something Shanahan's offenses don't always do. And I want to take it back to your notes, page 3, for those of you scoring at home. Wow. The Jennings 38-yard touchdown.
One of my favorites.
Walk me through that play, Greg. It looked like pure play-calling majesty.
It was. When I watched that play, I didn't see a lie because, you know, that's a little past my bedtime, guys. But
No doubt.
So when I saw the tape, I said to my guys, I said, he had to anticipate that coverage because that was a classic cover two beater. I mean, he put Juszczyk in motion to make sure Jennings would get free access into his dig route. He took Tonjes from the other side and had him attack the middle hole defender, Edwards, which would hold him down and not allow him to get depth and get in the way of Jennings. And then it was essentially a high-low between the hashes. He had Tonjes hold down Edwards. They threw behind Edwards. And that's a hard throw, guys. That's what we call a firm touch throw. You can't drive the ball because it's too low, but you also can't throw it with too much arc, because then the safeties get involved. So it's a firm touch throw. But it ends up being a high-low concept between the hashes with Tonjes' vertical stem attacking Edwards to hold him down and Jennings running the dig behind Edwards and in front of the safeties. It was so sweet.
Greg, you have stated on this show before that Brock Purdy is the greatest quarterback of all time.
The greatest.
And, yeah, and we've all accepted that as fact. But even with that said, these last 2 weeks, my man, I mean, let's talk about this a little bit. What are you seeing? And actually, do you see, at least within this season, him kind of having hit a little bit of another level the last few weeks?
Well, in some ways, despite the fact that Purdy has mobility, he's not a statue by any means. But in many ways, Purdy is somewhat of an old school player in that the understanding of how to play the position from the pocket is what separates him. I mean, and we speak about him being a post-snap operator because the nature of their pass game is what we call pure progression. In other words, he's not necessarily doing what we talked about this. I have talked about this, you know, like what a Phillip Rivers or an Aaron Rodgers or a Peyton Manning did, where he controls the game at the line of scrimmage. The play is called. He gets up to the line. Now, yeah, he wants to know whether it's middle open, middle closed, or if there's a blitz. But beyond that, he's not worried about every element of the defense. So he's just going through the read, and he sees the defense as he's dropping back and immediately knows where to go with the football. It's just innate. He's a master at that. And these are the details and the nuances and the subtleties of the position that are very, very hard. And one reason he was the last pick in the draft is because the college game, guys, is so different that you don't have to do this in college. So people didn't know he had this innate trait. And it's really high, high level. It's quarterbacking at a high level. And it's not because, oh, he can run around and make plays, which we know he can do. I mean, obviously, when he threw the touchdown to Juszczyk, you know, if Mahomes or Allen made that play, we'd be watching it for months. With Purdy, you know, it's just you move on to the next play.
Yeah, and the way he was able to slither and then shimmy and then threaten the linebackers and then deliver the ball. The other one that struck me.
I like that, Dan. Could you do that again? A little shimmer and a slither there.
It was a slither. It was a shimmy. And then eventually it culminated with the Dougie. And I won't ask you to break down the Dougie, although I know you're an aficionado of many a dance move. I'm more interested in your thoughts on the read option where, you know, we know he can throw it. We know he's a post-snap operator, but now he's got that read option mobility as well.
Oh, I mean, well, he's always had good movement. I mean, he's just a different kind of mover. He doesn't look explosive. He's not explosive in a strict sense, but he's a very, very good mover. I mean, he's not a statue by any means at all. That is an element of a game that can be used situationally.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Okay, let's talk Saturday. Greg, what are the 49ers looking at with this Seattle defense? I know you've talked them up already this year, so they're scoring in bunches, but this is a new challenge. I wonder if you'd speak to that.
They're very good. They're not a high percentage pressure defense. You're not going to see a ton of blitz, but yet their pressure rate is high. So they've got a really good D-line. They've got Williams and Lawrence who can line up at both D end and D tackle. They've got Byron Murphy who in his second year is playing at a really high level. Ernest Jones is a really good linebacker. may be the key to it all, because they play big nickel as essentially their base defense, is Nick Emmanuari, the rookie from South Carolina, who is just a stud of an athlete and can do many, many different things for them. And then they'll play dime when it gets to be those pure pass or third down situations. But they're essentially a big nickel defense. Now, the question is, will they stay big nickel if the 49ers, you know, they play so much 21 personnel, and will they stay big nickel, or will they line up in what they do at times, which is essentially a 5-2 front? But I would expect that they would not want to take him and worry off the field, because he's such a good player.
Especially in run support, and just looking at some of the advanced analytics, they have one of the best run defenses, if not the best run defense in football. How does that match up for what the Niners like to do? And I'm looking at your notes again. The majority of McCaffrey's carries have that pre-snap motion that you talked about. I believe it's page 4. How much of that can maybe affect Seattle?
Yeah, well, you know, pre-snap motion in the run game is a really big deal, because it changes the eye discipline of players. It changes run support. We've seen them use – this year they actually used Farrell, the tight end, in that tilted wing alignment. So they're expanding that. It'll be interesting to see. You know, the Niners are a high percentage motion offense. But, you know, one thing is since Purdy's been back, he's played 6 games, and they're 6-0. McCaffrey's numbers have been very good. He's been averaging 4.5 yards a rush in the 6 games that that Purdy's been back. The run game has really started to come on. He gets hard yards, to me, as well or better than any back in the league. I mean, he is a fighter inside. When it's blocked for 3, he seems to get 6. You know, he's just one of those guys. And then, of course, he had the 41-yarder this week where he kind of looked like the old McCaffrey.
Obviously, Seattle's winning a lot of games, but what is your evaluation of Sam Darnold? It felt like at halftime of the game 2 weeks ago against the Rams, yeah, People were ready to wring his neck, and then, you know, then he comes out and they come back. But how's he doing this year overall?
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I mean, at their best, they're a vertical passing team where he gets the ball down the field. Last number of weeks, it hasn't worked that way. I mean, this week he had 18 completions for only 147 yards. Their pass game looks a little stagnant right now. You know, look, they're playing a 49er defense that doesn't rush the quarterback particularly well. I don't know if Green is due back this week. You know, I don't think Luter's been a problem, but obviously Green's the starter. I know Stout got hurt. I don't know what his status is. You know, Lucas, I thought, came in and played well, but, you know, it's just been a very, and I hate to use the word inconsistent because it's one of those words that doesn't mean a whole lot, but the Seahawks pass game has had its ups and downs. It's been uneven.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so, and I get it. There's a lot of players. We don't know if they're necessarily going to be in or out, but this is a big one, Greg. There's obviously a lot on the line, so I think everyone's going to lean toward their speaker right now as you make the big pick for the Seahawks Niners game. Who do you like?
Oh boy, this is just a guess, guys. I really like the way the Niners are playing on offense right now, and I know Seattle is a very good defense. But you know, I feel good about the Niners offense, the way it's operating, and I'm just, the unevenness of the Seahawks offense, you know, if I'm a Seahawks fan, might have me a little concerned. So this to me is a flip of a coin, but you know, and the game's in Santa Clara, right?
Santa Clara, yep.
Yeah,
little rain in the forecast, could be a little wet.
Oh, well, you never know, I guess, out there, right? I don't know. I would like the 49ers run game in the rain. I don't think with the Seahawks defense, I wouldn't expect McCaffrey, unless he breaks one, to, you know, run for 140 or 150. But they are so committed to the run game. They're not going to give up on it. I like the Niners, but I'm just throwing you-know-what against the wall, guys.
There it is.
You're throwing picks against the wall.
With a Sharpie, Greg says the Niners are definitely going
to
take this one.
The best way to say it for our family group is I'm throwing defecation against the rear oscillator.
Wow. Okay.
There you go. We'll allow it. That was
strong.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, Happy New Year. Big party plans?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
tomorrow night.
I guess we say that old see you next year stuff now, huh?
Does bedtime, fluctuate a little bit tomorrow night?
No, I don't think I've seen a new year in 15 years.
What's the scouting report on beverages for you?
And I don't think I'm wrong about this. I don't think this is an arguable point, but Christmas and New Year's come during the football season, don't they?
Usually, most years.
Yeah, so it's, you know, these are just a day in the life, as the Eagles once as the Beatles once said.
Yeah, but it's coming on a Wednesday this year. New Year's Eve is on a Wednesday, so, you know.
I'm aware of that. Yeah, that would be tomorrow night. I'm aware of that.
And the Eagles, it may be more appropriate, life in the fast lane, Greg. So go ahead and get after it.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Greg.
You got that right.
We can't wait to talk to you in 2026, man. Thank you so much.
Oh, guys, I love it with you. Read those notes. I sent them to you. You know, it's a little prize.
Incredible.
I'm in my iPhone scheduling time because there's like so many pages, Greg. I usually don't read that much, so I gotta get after it tonight.
Well, there you go. You got a little work to do.
Yeah, we do.
No doubt.
Hey, Greg, you're the best. Greg. Thank you.
All right, guys, appreciate it.
Okay, Greg Cosell, NFL Films. He says, bet the house on the Niners. Coming up on Saturday.
Yes.
That should be our goal for next year. Let's see if we can get Greg to say kookoosh.
And just get him to start locking stuff in.
Or even kaboo.
Yeah, that's right.
Kaboo.
I mean, what he's saying is not wrong. And I'm looking at some of the advanced analytics around the last 6 weeks since Brock came back.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the best EPA, expected points added, of any quarterback in the NFL.
He's playing phenomenal.
The only quarterback who is slightly better and its completion percentage above expected, CPOE, which is another one of these advanced ones, is Drake May.
Drake May, yeah.
But Drake May is slightly below in the EPA, but those two on the grid are so far alone. And then you look for Sammy D. He is dead average on completion, and he's below average on EPA. The quarterback edge for the Niners is profound.
I know. Look, this is week to week for some people, whatever. Are we all feeling better about the contract now? You feel better about it?
You should be.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm Brock, I'm pissed. I left some money on the table.
I mean,
I tear that thing up now.
He is better than Dak Prescott. I mean, he is.
And in 3 years, if he plays like this, he's going to want a new deal.
Yeah, well, in 3 years? Maybe in four.
Two. Tear that thing up.
Yeah. All right. Steve Kerr, 18 minutes. Okay. Fade the Dibbers is in about 7 minutes.
The pick is in.
Yeah. We got
better be
plural.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.